Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of 1 Samuel. If you're in a place where you can grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
Tonight, as we get into this, let's look at this in 1 Samuel. Let's see how we can maybe tune in a little bit better to know his voice, to walk in his ways, to get a better feel for how it is that the Lord might minister. In verse 1 of chapter 3, 1 Samuel. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation, and it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, "Here I am." So he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he said, "I didn't call you, go lie down." And he went and he lay down. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." He answered, "I did not call, my son, lie down again." Samuel did not yet know. Notice this one in verse 7. Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called again a third time, and he arose and went to Eli, and Eli said, "Here I am, for you called me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. One of the first things that we want to note is Samuel's a young guy. He's a youth, basically still child, and certainly childlike. Do you remember somebody else telling us about the kingdom of God is formed such as these? Jesus telling us that we have to come to him basically with childlike faith, childlike trust, coming to him and approaching him with dependence on him, not independent, not forcing our way, but coming to Jesus, just totally wanting to be dependent on him. That's one of the first things that you note is God's speaking. Look at, God's not talking to the old guy right now. The old guy's gotten way off track. Basically, truthfully, Eli, unfortunately, not because of age. It has nothing to do with age, but it has to do with callousness of heart, has become somewhat, no doubt, an old wineskin, hasn't he? God's wanting to move, but the word has become rare in these days, in that time period. This idea of rare, people just didn't hear much from God. They weren't discerning much from the Lord. And what we read in Judges is the reason why. Because they did what was right in the sight of their own lives. There wasn't much widespread revelation at the time, as we just read. Why? Because of that very thing. They're doing what's right in their own eyes. The key, one of the keys to revelation, no doubt, is obedience. That's a very important thing to understanding revelation, God's voice being spoken to us on a continuous basis, has to do with oftentimes obedience to the Lord. Did we do, whenever somebody says they're going through a real dry spell or anything like that, I say, okay, so when did you last hear from the Lord? When did you last sense his presence and him ministering to you about something? And they tell me what such and such, and you know, it was, you know, several months ago, or it was, gosh, I just can't remember the last time or whatever. Do you remember the last thing that the Lord ministered to you? Whatever that was, do you remember what that was? Yes. And my only question is, did you do it? Did you do exactly as the Lord spoke to you? And did you do that from your heart? Did you really do that? And most often, the answer is no. And it just, God, why would God reveal more when we haven't done what he said last time? Why would you continue to give more? God's not a dummy, obviously. He's not going to continue to invest more, because to whom much is given, much more is required. Why would God keep heaping stuff on you and you're not responding? It's just, it's like heaping judgment on you. And God's not going to do that to you, nor to me. He wants to speak. He wants to, the voice is out there. He's speaking through his word. Not much widespread revelation. I can identify with this so well, because we see what's happening today. People are doing what's right in the sight of their own eyes. The word of the Lord was rare. Travel around the states, the United States, or the world, and look for places that are actually investing time in teaching through the word of God with the body of Christ, with the people of God. You will find, unfortunately, as I have found, that it is few and far between that are really committed to the word of God, to really investing in the people with the word. That's just a simple truth. The word of the Lord is rare in our time, in a sense, in that way. This is why at Calvary Chapel here, we're so committed to going through the simple teaching of God's word, that we might know the Lord. It is one of the ways he has revealed himself to us. And this is the other, one of the keys is, when we want to hear from the Lord, is we want to listen for his voice. We want to know him. And when we listen to his word, we can start hearing God starting to speak to our hearts. Let's get into this a little further. So no doubt, God wants to speak to us, but he wants to speak to us not as old wineskins. You see, what is it about youthfulness or a young at heart? Or so it has nothing to do with age, but it does have to do with our pliability, our openness. You know, we're not all rigid and, well, I don't know, I'm not sure. You know, kids just jump right into stuff most of the time. They'll try things, they'll do things. You know, we want them to quiet down, we want them to settle down, but that's not their nature. They're inquisitive, they're full of wonder and interest. And they're excited, they are trusting. There's just so much great things that we can learn from young lives like that. But as we get older, you know, haven't you had, oh, I've seen this. Gosh, I just cringe. I butt in, actually, when this happens. So if you do it and I butt in, you'll know why. It's for everybody's best interest, believe me. But somebody's getting fresh relationship and revelation from the Lord. God's just doing neat things, are on fire for God. And somebody's been walking with the Lord a while. They're a little bit stale in their journey. And they start talking with them. They go, yeah, well, enjoy it now, you know. You know, there's a time coming, you know. And they're basically insinuating that, well, eventually you'll just be a twig like me and dried up and just life stinks, you know. And, you know, God help us. It has nothing to do with our age, brothers and sisters. I'm watching Pastor Chuck at 83 just putting his pedal to the floor, you know. I mean, he's just going all the time. I'm watching Frank Drown at 86 or 87 years old, just excited about what Jesus is doing, reaching the native North American people up in Canada. And he's just spending all his energies and efforts trying to let people know how they can partner with him to get radio transponders and equipment and things into people's hands out there in the wilds of Canada so that they can hear the gospel. That's just where he's got a burden. He's got a burden for indigenous people groups. And he's just stumbled across one because he likes to go fishing up there. That's the honest truth. God just used his natural interests and his inclinations in his retirement. And, you know, there's no retirement. You don't retire from God. I mean, what would you do? You know, it's weird. So he's serving the Lord in that way now. He's not an old wineskin. You see what I'm saying? It has nothing to do with our age. It has to do with our thought process. It has to do with taking heed how we hear. How we hear. The voice is out there. But how am I hearing it? Am I hearing it with wonder and faith? This idea for this is having that openness to follow the Lord, that childlike perspective. And so that's one of the keys to this, as we see as we get started in this. He's the boy Samuel. But look at what else it says in verse 1. It says, he ministered to the Lord. He ministered to the Lord. I think this is really, really important. Does it say he ministered? And this is significant. This word change-up I'm doing with you right now is significant. It says in your Bible, I believe, along with mine, he ministered to the Lord. Does anybody say anything different than that? Before the Lord. Before, to, pardon? Unto, great. All of those insinuate the same concept. It is not for. Much of the time in our journeys, we get connected with God and we want to do something for God. We want to do something for him. And that's great. That's a wonderful heart, isn't it? That's a good heart. God, be zealous for the Lord. The Bible's clear on that. But keep your zeal, the Bible says, serving the Lord. See, unto, to, is different than for. Two different things. Both are important, and God wants both. God wants to use you. God wants to use me. But we need to hear from him, and then we need to, in response, think of how Samuel is just there serving the Lord. Serving God. As we just read just a little bit further down in verse 7, he did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord revealed to him yet. But yet he's serving, he's ministering to the Lord. You know, that idea invokes something interesting to me. The Bible talks to you, to me, about offering up a sacrifice of praise. That means we're offering up something and there's nothing necessarily coming in return at that time, at that moment. Think about Samuel. He doesn't even really have this personal relationship in that sense yet, even with the Lord, but he's ministering to God. How can you minister to God? You can, through prayer, obviously, praise, worship, adoration, all of those things that you can do, you offer up to God. You give that to God. You acknowledge his presence. Thankfulness is that same thing, expressing a thankful heart, ministering to the Lord. I got home and my wife had just gone through, and because I wasn't around, so she was able to, without distraction, just spiff out the house, you know, and clean things up and do a bunch of stuff, you know, and I appreciate that. But really, that's awesome, but really what I liked was just sitting down and talking with her and going for a walk together yesterday evening when I'd gotten home. That's really what I enjoyed, really. The other stuff was just, she was doing something for me. But doing something together is something, that's something that is really ministering to. You see, it's a different concept. So when we think about that, our ministering to the Lord, giving something to the Lord, offering ourselves up to the Lord, expressing these things to God, and then God, these are all aspects of getting in that place where we can hear his voice. We're getting ourselves ready to hear from him. He's going to speak. And this is a great, am I approaching him with that desire, you know, and enthusiasm and interest with expectation like a young child would? Am I trusting and abandoning myself to him as a child would? My mom, when I was a little kid, I told her one time there's these bigger kids and they're playing down at the rec park, and I was down there and goofing around. It was down the street from our house, and so I was playing down at the park, and their baseball had gone down into one of the drain culverts in the gutter. And I was a little guy, I was probably, you know, 6 years old, 7 years old, and their ball had gone down in there, and they said, hey, can you go down there and get that thing? So I rolled on my belly and crawled right through and down into the culvert and got their ball and climbed back out. You know, I didn't think that, well, what if they block me in there and I can't get out? Or I never think of anything about that. I just was helping them out. They asked me to help them, I helped them, you know? And you know, it's just, that's the kind of, that's childlike, you know? You just do things. In the Lord, God appreciates our heart for him that way, that we approach it that way. And then that we're ministering to him. Man, I like that concept of just ministering to him. Will you turn with me to Isaiah? I want to show you something that happens as we minister to the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 6, familiar portion of scripture for us. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphim, each one had six wings, and with two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell amidst the people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged." Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And then I said, "Here I am. Send me." He's in the presence of the Lord. He's ministering to God and he hears God speaking. The triune Godhead conversing amongst themselves. Who will go for us? God knows when we're tuned in. And when we get tuned into God, we're going to start hearing what's going on. And when we start hearing what's going on, all of a sudden we're going to realize God's looking for someone to move through. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord searches to and fro across the face of the earth, searching for one man, one woman, to show himself strong on behalf of that one, moving through that one, that person, those whose heart is for him or consecrated to him, committed to him. Wonderful truth. Turn with me quickly to Acts on this same thought. Ooh, this is a neat one. Acts 13. Look at this. Paul, Barnabas, the bros, they're all gathered together. And as they, oh, look at this, verse 2, chapter 13, Acts 13, 2. Look at this. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, worshiping God, just praising him for who he is, thanking him for his goodness, just offering up what is due his name. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them." So important that we are ministering to the Lord, that we might hear from the Lord. And oftentimes, it's that idea of that which I have first received, Paul the Apostle said, that's what I'm going to give back out. But how am I going to receive that if I'm not ministering to the Lord in a place where I can receive that? And oftentimes we're out running, wanting to do things for God. Noble, wonderful, good things, I know. But what if that wasn't what God said to do? What if that wasn't what God was speaking to do? It's a good idea. It's a wonderful thought. But did you ever think that that might go up in flames and just be part of your burn pile? Wood, hay, and stubble? Because it wasn't motivated out of the Spirit? I'm challenging you. I'm challenging me, you know, to think through these things. What voice? Tuning in. I want to hear from the Lord. So many people get caught up wanting to do things for God, but God's just saying, "Hey, I'd love to have you just minister to me." And as you minister to me, when you're hanging out with me, you remember the disciples, they said, "Hey, man," this is a paraphrase, but this is what they said. "Hey, man, so where are you hanging out?" They're talking to Jesus. "Where are you hanging out?" Basically, they're asking about, they said, where do you kick your sandals off at? Or, you know, this, you know, where do you lay, put your shoes? Or, but their whole concept was, where are you going tonight? Where are you going to be? We just want to hang out with you. We just want to get to know you, Jesus. We want to be with you. Foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. You know? But they're cool. No, we just want to be with you. We're not interested in what you have, what pictures you got on your walls or any of that. We just want to be with you. You see, isn't that great to want to just be, I just want to be with him. I just want to hang around Jesus. I just want to be with him. Crazy stuff happens when you're hanging around with Jesus. Withered hands come back. Blind see. The deaf hear. The mute speak. Radical stuff happens when you're hanging around with Jesus. Isn't it great to be led by the Lord, to be hearing from him, and then to be called out to do those things? Notice where he's at when he's doing this at this present time. He's in the temple, isn't he? He's in the gathering place of the people of God. There are some unfortunate things in this point in time, is that during this time, the lamp of God's starting to go out. That's never supposed to ever happen. If you remember when we studied through, that lamp was to be burning as a perpetual thing, as to express or to reveal the presence of God. And it was always, always, always supposed to be burning. The priests were faltering, weren't they, in their duties? They were not doing what they were supposed to be doing. They were faltering. Did it stop God from speaking? To them, maybe, but not to Samuel. Samuel's innocent of that, right? He's got an innocence about him. That childlike innocence is there about him. He's ministering to the Lord. And I've found that I really agree with that thought, that as we are in the place of gathering with other believers, oftentimes God will begin to speak and move and talk to our hearts through his word in settings just like this. In other men's Bible studies, women's Bible studies, prayer times, gatherings like this. I'm not saying God doesn't speak to us in our devotional time. Certainly he does. I'm not saying that God doesn't speak in other situations, but it is the idea that we are getting to this place. We're setting aside this time, and God knows it, and God's going to meet us here. Wherever two or three are gathered, there I am, Jesus said, in the midst of them. God's moving. He's wanting to speak to us. Thank you so much for listening today. This is Pastor Jim, and I'm really blessed that you've tuned in, and I hope that God's really doing a fresh new work in your life. And oftentimes, when we hear messages like today's message, the Lord starts to tug on our hearts, and he wants to hear from us. He wants our response, and that's just a prayer, a simple prayer of faith. And maybe you just need to get right with God. Maybe you need to repent and turn your life back over to the Lord. Maybe you just need to give your life to Jesus and you've never done that before. This is your time. This is your opportunity. God's word goes out and he's making himself known, and he wants you to live and have everlasting life. Incline your ear and come to him. And so Jesus is calling out to you, and it's your opportunity to respond and call back to him. And just open that door in your heart. It's a simple response in prayer. It doesn't matter where you are, what you're doing. If you just pray this simple prayer of faith, God will come into your life and make your heart his home. Jesus, I ask that you would do just that. Make my heart your home, that you would come in and forgive me of my sin. I want to ask you to be my personal Lord and Savior. I know this isn't about religion. It's about a relationship, and I want to start that relationship. You're calling out to me. I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. I'm in need of spiritual help. And so I'm calling out to you, God, asking that you would help me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for making yourself known to me. And Lord, I just want to receive that gift of everlasting life. I want to thank you for it right now. And I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you may be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. And if you're social media savvy, you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/CalvaryChapelKC. Also, Living Fountains podcasts are available in the iTunes store now, and you can download them at no cost. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, we meet in Overland Park on Sunday mornings. The service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com, or you can simply contact the church office at 913-681-1635. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains.